Way back when I was thinking about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you at dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training.
Welcome to the Dropship Podcast, where you'll learn how to build and grow a high-ticket dropshipping business and hear stories from successful e-commerce entrepreneurs. Let's kick this thing off.
Hey, welcome to the Dropship Podcast. John here with a solo episode for you today, because today I am doing a website teardown. So we do these on the show every now and then. Usually it's just by myself. If you're new to the show, you might be wondering, where's Ben? Well, in these episodes, I tend to get on and do them by myself. And today is no different. I'm going to be running through a website that has been kindly donated for this purpose by the lovely Amira. So thank you in advance, Amira, for volunteering your website for such purposes. And basically what I'm going to do, I'm going to put Amira's website, which is called Aligned Play, up on the screen in a moment. And I'm going to walk through the website. So we're going to have a look at the homepage, we're going to have a look at some collection pages, we're going to have a look at product pages. I'm going to share my thoughts as we go through that on things I like, things I don't like, things that could be improved. Once again, Amira can take those and make improvements to her business, but it's a useful exercise for anybody who's watching along. If you're somebody who's looking to get into high ticket dropshipping, if you're somebody who's interested in improving your own high ticket dropshipping website, if you've got one up and running, you can get all sorts of useful little bits and pieces from these sort of episodes. And of course, go through our back catalog. And you'll find quite a few other episodes like this. If this is the first one that you're catching, I've done this on a number of websites, and there's all sorts of little goodies within there. As well as looking at the website, usually I'll also be commenting on some things as I see them come up that might relate to niche selection. So I'll have a bit of a talk about Amira's niche as it's running through my mind. I'll probably have some comments relating to search engine optimization. I might have some comments relating to Google Ads and some things on the site that might provide benefits there. And so it'll be a reasonably wide-ranging thing. But of course, as well, keep in mind that it's relating to high-ticket dropshipping. So I'm doing this, as we always do on this podcast, through the lens of high-ticket dropshipping. So some of the things that I comment on to do with the website may, in fact, just be specific to high-ticket dropshipping and may not be something that you would do on another type of e-commerce business. If you have your own brand that you're marketing or something like that. So this is, of course, a video episode, and I am going to be sharing something on the screen. So I do recommend, if it's at all possible, you listen in while watching the video. And the video episode is available on Spotify. So if you're there, you can watch this episode on Spotify with the video. Or at the same time, this is released on our YouTube channel. So you can head over to YouTube, just type in Dropship Breakthrough into there, or the Dropship Podcast, because YouTube now has podcasts. And you'll be able to find the video episode on YouTube as well. But if nothing else, if you're just listening on audio, obviously if you're driving or something, I don't recommend that you stare at a video screen while you're driving. But if you're anywhere else, you can just go to Aligned Play, that's all one word, and you'll find that in the show notes.com. And you can look at the website while I'm talking about it, is another option for you. So I'm going to flick it up on the screen right now, and we'll dive into Aligned Play. All right, here we are on screen. We've got alignedplay.com. And immediately we can get a gist of where we're going with this website. So from the name, of course, we've got the word play in the name. As soon as we land on the screen, we have an image of a couple of lovely children and the tagline in the hero image here: create extraordinary play aligned with play, creativity, imagination, and style. So right away we know that Aligned Play is going to be providing customers with products that are involved in children's play. And there's a range of products. So off the bat, what do I think about that? Children's play, look, normally for a lot of, I think that children-related products is a pretty tough gig in the general sense. Whether that's baby products or you know, other children's play products, toys, et cetera, et cetera. They generally don't make, you know, great products to sell or to drop ship because, yes, it's a very big market. There is a probably a never-ending supply of children coming out. People have children, you know, and there's always new children. So it's a great market. It's a big market. And everybody knows that. And so what that means is there's a lot of people selling in that market. And certainly when we talk about high ticket drop shipping, you know, there's a lot of products in that space that are not high ticket or are not high enough ticket that you would sell them. And so generally speaking, we don't, you won't hear us talk a lot about children's toys, baby products, et cetera, because either the products don't fit the high ticket drop shipping model or a lot of the products, particularly in the baby, like the younger infant sort of times, those products are often sold in big box stores that are in everybody's town that they can go and buy very easily. A lot of the brands, pricing is tough, et cetera, et cetera. They're just very competitive. Now, as we get sort of into the next stage up, as children get bigger, I think there does start to be some opportunities. So as in there are products out there, there are branded products and products out there that maybe are not mass market and or are more expensive. You know, as children get older, the things they play with often tend to get more expensive. If you're a parent, you might who's had children for some time, you might associate with that. I certainly do, and I have children through a number of ranges. So while immediately when I see this, I think, yeah, that sounds tough. I think we're, as we go through the site, we're going to see that, you know, we'll talk some more about the products and why I think there's some good stuff going on here that might be a little bit different to that general advice I would give around children's things for drop shipping. So let's talk about the homepage. We're on the homepage here. And, you know, I think Amira's done a pretty good job here. We can see she's picked a nice neutral kind of pastel color scheme, which is fairly consistent as we move through, and certainly matches well with some of the product imagery on the site. You can see she's stuck. I think that the whenever I've seen people get into like children's related products and that sort of thing, there tends to be a bit of a tendency to swing towards making your site look like a rainbow of colors. Like there's not really any one particular color or anything like that. And look, colors aren't a massive thing, but I generally think that's actually a bad idea. Yes, children, fun, etc. We think fun, we think children, we want things to be fun. But remember, it's not the child isn't your customer here. So your child, your ideal customer when you're selling particularly high ticket products to children, is the parent. It's still an adult. And so while there is a temptation to make things look a bit wild and fun for the kids, and yes, some children may look at the websites with their parents or even these days by themselves, it seems lots of children have devices. Primarily, at the end of the day, the purchasing decision is going to be usually made by an adult. And so it's kind of, you've kind of got a balance that you need to put something out there that appeals to the parent as well as the child. And I think Amira's done a good job of that with the design and the color scheme, et cetera, that she's gone after. So that's good. I like it. Certainly wouldn't be making any changes there. It's consistently carried through the site as well. So that's the thing, I think. When you pick your color scheme, 2 to 3 colors max, that's what you need. You want to carry that consistently throughout the site and still focus primarily on white, like white background mostly. That's the way to go. You want to use your colors as accents and to denote your branding. And so I think Amira is doing a pretty good job of that here. So this store is built on the Superstore theme. Superstore by Out of the Sandbox is the company that makes Superstore. It's the theme that we recommend at Dropship Breakthrough and on the Dropship podcast. It's our favorite Shopify theme. It's easily one of the best, if not the best, for high ticket dropshipping. And so you should definitely check that out. You'll find a link to that in the show notes here. But Superstore, some of the reasons we love Superstore, it comes out of the box with a lot of the features that you want for a high ticket dropshipping site, like this nice big search bar. And I'm looking at this on quite a big screen here. So if you're wondering why it's so long, it's actually because my screen's probably a little bit bigger than most, and it's stretching it out. Now, keep in mind as well, most of your customers are going to be on mobile, and this theme does give us a nice little mobile look, which I can do for you right now. If you're watching on the screen, look, you can always get a mobile look, in case you don't know, on if you use Google Chrome, by going into your Google Chrome settings area and just go into developer tools. So it brings up the little code down the side there. And there's a little button right in the top of that little window that opens with a mobile screen inside a device screen. And you click that and it will change your browser into like giving you the mobile version. So we can see here this theme still gives us the nice search bar, that Amazon style, nice big search bar. And that's exactly why this sort of thing is good. A lot of people, particularly in the US market where this business is based, are used to shopping on Amazon. You know, that's one of the things about Amazon being the biggest online retailer is that their interface, people get used to it. And it's the same with Shopify. So many stores are on Shopify that people are now used to that style of product page and the checkout flow, etc. And so conforming with that is actually a good thing because it creates a familiar environment for your shoppers. You don't want to throw out a website that is like some wild design that makes that nobody's seen before, and they've got to actually think about how to navigate through it. The structure is important. And so what we have here is that nice big search bar that on this, you can set it to stick or not to stick with Superstore. Mira's got it sticking. You can see if we scroll here, it stays at the top there. And that's important, you know, from another reason, and we'll just flip back to the desktop view here. Because when you're doing high ticket dropshipping, you're going to have a lot of products on your site usually compared to, say, a business that just markets its own product. You know, like you're just marketing, if you develop your own product, you might only have 5-10 products or something like that. You might even only have one product. Search functionality, not a big deal for you because customers are going to be very easily to find your products on your site. When you have a high ticket dropshipping business, you may have 100 products, you may have 500 products, you may have 1,000 products. And then it starts to create a bit of a navigational issue for you. How do you get people to exactly what they're looking for in the shortest amount of steps possible? And so the search bar is one of the ways that you can do that, because the quicker you can get people to the thing they're looking for, the more likely they are to purchase for you. So you want to reduce friction in that customer journey. And so the big search bar, if I came to this site and I'm like, I want this specific type of toy, but I didn't land on that page, maybe I came to a blog post or something like that, I can just hit up the search bar and type in what I'm looking for. And, you know, it's going to, if I do this, it's going to, in this theme, it's going to provide me with this live kind of, and I'm just putting in something random here, I don't even know. So, you know, it's giving me this sort of live dynamic search results where I can click through to actual products and can see the price and the images. So it's incredibly handy to have that, because for some customers, that's going to cut down their time. Now, Mira's done well. She's got like some navigational stuff along the top of the screen here, about us, contact us, shipping, easy returns, privacy, terms of service. Now, having those things up there, you might think, why would you put your returns policy and your privacy and terms of service and that sort of thing up there? There is actually a reason for that, particularly when you've got a new business. And this website is not an old business. It's up and running. It's making sales for sure. But it's only been around for less than 12 months, I believe. American, correct me if I'm wrong. But when you've got a new site, particularly if you want to use the Google Shopping sales channel, you want to advertise on Google Shopping.
Hey, remember Holly? Yeah, episode 212. From zero to $500,000 in 5 months, Holly is one of our best students. And you can hop on a call with her right now at dropshipbreakthrough.com/call. If you're listening to this, I know you're thinking about starting your own high-ticket dropshipping business, and what better person to speak to than Holly, who is a shining example of what can be done starting your own business. So hop on a call with Holly, see if joining Dropship Breakthrough is right for you. dropshipbreakthrough.com/call.
Google has some very strict policies around approving merchant center accounts and things like that. And some of those are that you have to have very obvious things like terms of service, privacy, returns, shipping, contact us. These need to be easy to find on your site. So traditionally, you'll put them in the footer as well. If we scroll way down to the footer, we can see that Amira has these in her footer.
also, the more often you put them, the more likely it is that Google's going to say to you, fantastic, you can use our advertising platform. Now, you could, once you've been up and running for a while, you could actually take that away and you'll probably get away with it. No problems. Similarly, we've got a nice, easy to find phone number up here, which is good. Call us today on this phone number. That's good to have. I like that. You should always, when you've got a high ticket dropshipping business, and once again, I'm being specific about high ticket dropshipping, I think for any business, but certainly here, you want to have a visible phone number, visible at all times, in fact. And we'll touch on that a few other times as we go through the website, I think, because you're selling more expensive products. People are more likely to have questions. They're more likely to want to know about things like shipping and how do I set up the product, or various maybe technical questions about the product pre-purchase, or they might want to call you up about price. Maybe they've been comparison shopping and that might be a thing for them. So the more people you can get on the phone, actually, the more sales you're going to close. And when we get to the product page, I think I'm going to touch on that a little bit more. So it's good to see that there. Then we've got our series of menu navigations. Once again, Amir has set these up, I think, certainly with a thought to, you know, thinking about how people might look for a product. So obviously, a lot of people are going to come to this, to a site like this, and be looking for birthday gifts, for example, or Christmas presents. And as I record this, we're in late November. We're coming up to Christmas. Black Friday is approaching very soon. And so parents, or I certainly am, are out there buying things that they're going to give their kids for Christmas, or maybe their relations. If you know, you've got family, maybe you're an auntie or an uncle, you're going to buy some presents for your nieces and nephews or friends' kids, like whatever. She's put in some useful navigation here. Gifts for a one-year-old, gifts for a two-year-old. This is really smart. Shop by age. You could also shop by age. And you might say, well, that's essentially the same thing. It is essentially the same thing. But, and this is a little tip for your menu navigations. Once again, high ticket dropshipping, because you're going to have a lot of different products, menu navigation is one of the other ways that we get people to what they're looking for in the shortest amount of time possible. So I actually like this. Some people will be like, tempted to go and just do the thing that they've seen on other websites that aren't dropshipping sites and have like the shop button at the top, and then there's like some menu that drops down below that. I wouldn't do that. One, not great for SEO. Two, not great for the customer either, really. Like shop, what does that mean? That doesn't mean anything. Like if I come to this site and I want to buy a gift, I'm going to be immediately drawn to this gifts thing. Right? I'm going to see gifts. I'm going to go, yes, that's interesting to me. I want to go and look at that. If I'm going to looking shop by age, once again, if I'm here and I'm looking to buy something for a one-year-old, I don't want to look at stuff that's not relevant to a one-year-old. I want to just get to what's the stuff I can buy for a one-year-old in the shortest amount of time possible and not have to worry about, well, is this a gift for a one-year-old or is it a gift for a three-year-old that's suitable for a three-year-old? Because, you know, toys for kids, they usually have recommended ages on them if you've ever bought toys for a child. And so, I think this is a smart way. You're essentially doing the same thing. And so in your navigation, you can use different language for the same thing if it matches what people, different ways that people think about things. And you can learn this sometimes over time. I think these things are a little more obvious for this particular niche. But in most markets, people, you will get to know that people get to the same product in different ways or using different language. And so putting the same, essentially the same links in different menu items is actually clever because it caters to the different ways that people might think about finding the same product. So always think about that. Whenever it comes to your navigation, be thoughtful about, one, how you break your products apart and into what categories. And I think Amira's got a pretty good sense of this on this site. But have a think about that. Like you can have the same thing in multiple menu navigations if people get to things in a different way, and be open to changing it. Like as you interact with customers, as your business grows, you're going to, you know, come across some of the different ways that people think about your products and how they categorize them and that sort of thing. You'll get exposed to it, and you should make changes on the fly as well to pick up, you know, what your customers do. But this is a clever thing to do. I would certainly, if you have a site that, you know, is similar in some way, think, you know, in the way that, you know, products might be defined, you should certainly build that into your navigation. So I think that's good. And I think also, you know, there's probably some opportunities, you know, getting into SEO where you can use menu navigations as well to hit particular categories of products. But this is good. So moving on down the page, like I said, nice little image here. You know, kids, the what we're aiming to please with this sort of site. Very nice, good color scheme carrying on. We've got the USP here at the top, the start of the USP. So once again, if you've been listening to the podcast for any amount of time, you've heard John bang on about this before. When people come to your site, they have two questions in their mind. One, what product do I need to buy? Is this the right product for me? And two, who is the best person to buy this product from? Because when you're high ticket dropshipping, once again, you're not the only person selling that product usually. Usually there's going to be multiple people selling that product, like multiple stores online somewhere selling that product. And that means that probably your customer can find those other stores selling that product as well. And they might do a bit of comparison shopping. And so the question is going to be, because in the US where this site is based as well, generally they're going to see the same price. You know, they're going to be like, okay, so what other factors can influence my decision as to who I want to buy for? So the general feel of the business, the look, the style might influence that. But so do things like, you know, what's the approach on returns? You know, if the kid doesn't like it, can I return it? If they've already got that toy, can I return it? So once again, returns might be an important thing for this particular niche. Like I've certainly had the case where I've bought a gift for a niece or nephew, and because I'm not their parent, I don't know every toy they've got. Or just a friend's kids, you rock up at the party and somebody else has already given them the exact same present that you bought. So you might be like, oh, look, tell their parents, look, I did get little Johnny a gift, but he's already got it. So I might just return it and get him something different and I'll send it through to you later or something like that. Or here's the receipt. You can do it yourself if you want. He can pick something he really wants. You know, so that might be important here. We've got something about shipping, free shipping for orders over $99, plus tax-free in the USA. That's cool. And once again, a reiteration of the phone number. So you want your phone number always to be findable. So I like having it there. So this is good. We move down. We've got some main category selections. You know, once again, another nice little thing, you know, that people can look at, get in touch today. We're here to help you. Once again, I think that the more you can encourage people to get in touch with you if they've got questions, if they need help, it's for a high ticket dropshipping businesses is very good. Not only that, you just close more sales when you talk to people on the phone. Like if a customer has questions, if they have some points of resistance, it's much easier to close those if you speak to somebody on the phone. Better than email, better than online chat. Amir's got the old online chat widget down here, which is nice to see. But phone is best. And so like a lot of people who want to get into dropshipping probably don't want to hear that. You're probably like, oh, yeah, but I just want the beach life, man. I don't want to be answering the phone. Yeah, well, that's nice, but that's not the reality. And so encourage people as much as you can to call your business. We've got some featured playhouses. So these are some of the high-ticket products. This all looks good. Search bar again, USP again, just reiterating things. And we've got a nice footer down here with all of the relevant links that you would need in a footer. So once again, I think the main role of the homepage is at the top, right? What you see here is really the crux of it. The homepage is, as we say, the home for your business. So the most important thing to me is that if somebody lands here and they're in your market, they feel like they're in the right place. Like, am I in the right place? Is this where I want to be online? Is this business, does it give me a good feel? Do I feel right about being here? Does it communicate with me about the things I'm interested in, the problems that I need to solve, et cetera, and certainly I think this one does. It's looking good. So aside from that, the homepage doesn't really play a role in anything else to me. I mean, it's particularly in the beginning when you're sending most of your traffic to product pages and that sort of thing. The homepage is kind of like a backup. It's like a, you know, it's like when people are already subconsciously made the decision to purchase, the homepage provides a bit of logic. Maybe they're visiting a second time, they're on one of the later touch points in their customer journey. The homepage just kind of locks things in for people. This is not the main landing page for your business. Like you're not sending traffic here for a high ticket dropshipping business. People come here if they're coming to visit a second or a third time. They might look at a product page first and then come back to the homepage to check the business out further. So it's kind of like a secondary touch point. It's not a primary touch point for a high ticket dropshipping business, once again. So really what it needs to do, it just needs to reiterate all the things you want people to understand about your business. What's your USP? Are you the right place for them? What are you focused on? Do you look professional? Et cetera, et cetera. That's really what you're trying to achieve with your homepage as far as these type of businesses go. So let's dig around here a bit further. So Amira, you know, children's toys, we've got a lot of different things. I want to actually go to Amira's About Us page first because I like this. And this is something that I don't see a lot of people doing. And it's something that people should do as soon as possible. So we see here, Amira, this is Amira. It's in the photo. And this is Amira's family. Hello, Amira's family, if you ever listen to this. Those are, I understand, Amira's children. What a good looking family, hey? Very good looking. Anyway, so, you know, Amira's taken her homepage. She's put a face on it. She's put a name on it. And there's a bit of a story here, which, you know, is I assume, very true. And kind of reiterates what the core values are, etc. Like, this is nice. Got some names on it. So what I see a lot of high ticket dropshippers or dropshippers in general do is they don't do this. They don't put their name on their business. It's kind of the About Us page is a very bland and templatized thing. It's okay to start with a template to get things up and running, but then you need to change it. All templates should always be like modified to suit you, to suit your business, to make it personal. So people connect with people. People don't actually really connect with businesses. A business is just this ethereal third-party faceless thing, right? The more you can inject a bit of personality into your business, the more, one, you're going to look unique because nobody else can put this family on their website because, you know, it's a mirror. You can't be anywhere else. And so it just adds some extra little touches. And once again, you know, if I'm a parent and I'm looking for stuff and I can see this and I'm like, oh yeah, I feel a bit more of a connection there than I might if I go to like Toy World's website, right? Or, you know, some big box store where, and once again, as a smaller retailer, this is one of your points where you can kind of stand out. This is one of the things, like, you can't pretend to be, you know, Toys R Us or Toy World or something like that, because they're a massive business. And I'm pulling out Australian names there. So if they don't exist in the US, just ignore me. But they're, you know, they're big toy chains here at some point in time. Right. So, or Target or something like that, where people can buy toys or whatever. You're not them. You can't compete with them in the way that they do business, but also they can't compete with you in the way you do business. So they can't put their family on the About Us page of Target because they're a massive company. Like, where's the family? There's people with families that work there, but they're not going to do that. Whereas you can make your site incredibly personal. You can put yourself on there and say, hey, this is me. This is who our business is. And yeah, some people might not like you. That's okay. Some people are really going to like you for doing that. And those are the people that are going to be your customers. And so I like this. And I would encourage anybody who's in the dropshipping space to do something similar. I certainly did it with my first business. I put my face. I was selling chandeliers and lights and things, right? A product I had never bought in my life. And so I didn't add some massive story about how I love chandeliers and pendant lights and how, you know, I've got 57 of them in my home and all of this sort of stuff. There was none of that there. I didn't make up something completely fictitious about that. And I would show you that, but it's not online anymore. But I did put my face on it and I did share a bit about, you know, who I was and what my motive, like, what I was trying to achieve with the business. I was trying to give people a great selection of lights that they could buy at really good prices. You know, I was trying to bring, like, get people looking at a bunch of different brands, and I had some values that I associated with the business, all of which was true. I didn't sit there saying, oh, I really love chandeliers and I've got one above my dining table. You don't need to say that. You don't have to have that level of personal connection for this to actually work. You just need to say, hey, I'm John. I run this business. You know, and this is what I'm trying to do with the business. I want to serve you, my customer. This is what I believe in, trust, all that sort of stuff. And, you know, if you ever want to get in touch with us, please feel free. You can do so here. Like, you can keep it simple, but I think this does help when you're a smaller retailer to do that. So I just wanted to go there just to share that because it's one of the things I quite like about Amira's business is she has that personality and a bit of her and her family shared in there, which I think is a good thing to do. So lots of different products here. You know, one of the downsides of, I think, the children market, as I mentioned before, is that you do have a lot of toys that are in these sort of price ranges. So if I'm talking from a high ticket dropshipping perspective, I'm not a fan of some of this stuff. I think it's something you probably have to do if you're going to do children's things, because you're going to get access to a lot of these type of products. And there's some really cool little unique looking products here. So you can get the feeling sense from this site as you go through it, that Amira's not just selling the, she's not focused on selling the sort of more commoditized, products that you would buy everywhere, like the toys that you would buy everywhere, the toys that you see advertised on the TV and that sort of thing. She's got a different, a lot of these toys are like Montessori focused toys. I'll let you Google that if you don't know what that is. I'm not even going to attempt to explain that because I'm not an expert either, and I'll probably sound like an idiot. And Amira will box me around the ears if she ever sees me. But, these are kind of more, they feel more unique. I'm somebody who looks at toys a lot, and some of these, I mean, they look cool. They're different. And you see this throughout the site. She's certainly not focusing on the mass market type stuff. I mean, look at these. These are some, also there's some beautiful looking toys. My only issue with these is that individually, you know, unless the margins are very good, they're hard to sell these sort of things profitably. You've really got to do a lot of volume to make it stand out. And so, you know, we'll come back to that a little bit. But for me, this is always one of the issues I have with a market like the children market, is that a lot of the toys fall in this sort of range. And so, you know, if you sell one of these chairs, I don't know what the margins are, but I mean, it's not going to be amazing. From a profit perspective. And so you've got to sell a lot of them to make any money. But luckily, Amira also has some things like these playhouses on the site, which are particularly high-ticket products, of course. So we've got products here that are, you know, 9,000, 23,000, 14,000, and so on and such forth. And, you know, this is good. We've got playhouses, swing sets. Obviously, these are, you know, play equipment type things, and these are much higher ticket and probably fall within the scope of what we're looking for. So let's dive into one of those. I'm gonna find us a let's get into one of these star quality swing sets. So $8,800, and now we're going to get onto the product page. Look, I did jump past the collection page. Look, collection pages are, you know, from a design perspective, they're going to be pretty straightforward, I think. So you don't need to overthink that. There's two things that collection pages are incredibly useful for as you go through your high ticket dropshipping business. The first of those is they do become one of your main traffic pages for organic traffic. So talking about search engine optimization or SEO, which on this show you will have heard Ben and I discuss many times. In fact, around this episode, there's a few episodes to do with SEO coming out, whether they've been released yet. There's one coming very soon if it hasn't already gone out when you listen to this in the next couple of weeks. But collection pages are the pages that you will, at least some of them, be ranking organically for search terms that are relevant to your niche. And so while you don't necessarily do much from a design perspective, there certainly are improvements that you need to make to collection pages over time. So they should have content on them. You do need to start thinking about the title of collection pages and how does that fit into your keyword research and your overall SEO strategy. And so over time, you do want to start building these out. In the beginning, you know, from day one, you know, that's probably not the first thing you're going to do, but these do become important pages from your site. The other one is to think about is, of course, filters and filters, because this is a collection pages can be a place that gets confusing for the customer, right? Not necessarily maybe this one. It's not a massive collection, but once again, for a high ticket dropshipping business, you can run into collections that have many products in them. And so your collection may stretch over, you know, with the pagination that would have appeared down here over multiple pages. So 3, 4, 5, 6. I've seen people with collections that are like 10 pages worth of products. And you can select, you can say, you know, I want my products to infinitely load. So as the customer scrolls, they just keep loading and loading. And you probably have seen that on sites before. Or you can have like the click to the next page type things. The reality is that this is a pain point. Because if you've got big collections, there's a lot of things that the customer needs to find. And so one, we like to assume, I think, and we get this inherent thought in our mind as e-commerce business owners, that customers come to our site and they just want to sit here and endlessly fool through our collections and just scroll through our wonderful site and, oh, look at all these products, blah, blah. That's not really the reality though, right? Customers generally come to sites with something in mind, the solution to their problem, right? Now, they might know exactly the product they want to buy, which means they'll probably land on that product page rather than come to a collection page, or they might search for it in the search bar if they know the name of the product. But if they don't, if they're a bit further up the funnel, they're in the middle of the funnel, they know what type of product they want. So I know I want a swing set for my kids, right? And I come to this collection page somehow. Like, I'm going to have some defining things around what I want to buy. Now, that might be price. I might be price limited. So I only want to spend up to $5,000, or I only want to spend up to $10,000, or whatever it is, right? But it might also be defined by features. I want a slide with it, or I don't want a slide with it. I want a cubby house with it, or I don't want a cubby house with it. So for any type of product, there's going to be some defining features that people generally look for, which some products may have and some products may not have. Brand may also be the thing. So I want to buy this type of product and I'm loyal to a brand. So I want to look at that brand's products, for example. So what you want to have a think about, particularly where you've got larger collections, like if the collection is going to go over multiple pages, is that the bigger it gets, the harder it is for people to winkle out from that collection what is the thing they actually need. And once again, the confused mind buys nothing, right? So the more confused you make your customers, the harder you make it for them to get to what they want to buy, the less chance that your traffic is going to convert. So always think about this. If you've only got 10 products in a collection, you need to worry about that so much, right? Not to mention, as I go through this collection, let's say I look at this one, then I go and look at this one, then I go and look at this one, and I'm trying to compare those products in my mind. By the time I get to the fourth one, I don't remember what I looked at on the first one. Right? So it's not really a helpful method to force people to look through countless product pages to find what they want to get to. So the collection page opportunities that you want to build into your collection page, as well as like SEO stuff. And I'm not going to deep dive into that because we've done that on this show. So you'll find things. And let's be honest, we don't really have time either. But I would probably find ways that you can integrate into your collection pages to help people narrow down large collections. So you can see here, Amira's got some, or started to have some filters, and Superstore does have a level of filters built into it, which may work for some people. It may not be quite detailed enough for some people, and you may need an additional app, or you may need to code some extra functionality to get exactly what you want. But always think about, like, if you've got a big collection, how can I help people sort to just whatever it is they want to look at, whether that's features, whether that's price, whether that's brand, whatever the defining things are in your particular niche, and it's going to be different niche to niche. You want to help people get down to just those things as quickly as possible. So that's something to consider. The other thing I like to do with collection pages and other ways that you can do that is, one of my favorites is the quiz. People will have heard me talk about this before. The quiz is something that I would embed. And so you can get a quiz tool like Typeform or Quizzer. And I'll put some links to those in the show notes. And you build a little quiz. And I like to think about this like a salesperson in a physical retail store. So think about if somebody walked into a swing set store or a playhouses store, right? Let's say there was a physical retail store, and that's what they focused on selling. You went into the store and all of these things were set up on the showroom floor. all these different play sets and swing sets, and they're all different. And yeah, you could go for a wander through and just they could rely on you organically coming to the decision of what you might want to buy. But that process is much easier when the physical products are there. But a really good business in that space is going to have salespeople. And the salespeople are going to come up to you while you're on the show floor. And they're going to say, hey, man, how you doing? What are you looking for? And you know, some people say, oh, no. Look, I'm just browsing, you know, and I'll come back to you if I need help. Fine. But some people are going to say, yeah, look, I want a swing set. I need one that'll fit in this space. And the salesperson's going to go, oh, yeah, great. Okay. Well, sure. You need one for that size. What else? You got a price in mind? Or they might say, what do you want it to be made out of? You want wood? You want metal? You want plastic? Like, what are you looking for? And they're going to, a good salesperson will start digging into what problem you're actually trying to solve. Like, what is the outcome that you're looking for, that you're trying to achieve? And then after talking to you a little bit, a good salesperson should say, listen, I've listened to what you've got to say. And based on what you're telling me, this is the product for you. This one product over here is the product you need to buy. A salesperson, a good salesperson, is never going to go, well, you could buy this product, you could buy this product, you could buy this product, you could buy that product. Because they know that the simpler they make the decision for you as the trusted authority, and that's what a salesperson should be. I know we don't trust some types of salespeople, but ideally, the salesperson is viewed by the customer as someone with knowledge and is authoritative and knows a bit more about the product than they do, right? The salesperson is going to go, this is the product you need. This is the only product you should consider. It's the best for your needs, your price range, your whatever. And they're going to ideally sell that to you. Well, you don't have that on a high-ticket dropshipping business. And that's a good thing, by the way, from a business perspective. If that salesperson is genuine, they're trustworthy, that's a good outcome. Now, a high-ticket dropshipping business, you only get that if somebody calls your business. Or maybe online chats with you, which is not going to be anywhere near the vast majority of people who visit your business. And so you want to find ways that you can build that kind of experience into your website. So if I'm looking at this page, is there a quicker way that you can just point me to one product and say, hey, man, this is the one you need to buy without even interacting with me? And so the quiz is a great way to do that, right? You can set up a quiz. You can build a quiz with logic built into it. You can ask somebody 5 questions. What's your price range? What features do you want? What does it need to be made out of? How big is it? Like, you know, think about whatever the common things that people look for to do with your products. And then at the end, the quiz says, well, based on your answers, this is the number one product for you. They can click that and they can go straight to the product page and purchase it if they want. And to get them to do the quiz, you get to collect their email address as well. And so now you start building your email list of pre-purchase customers, and you know what they're looking for, so you can send them incredibly targeted emails based on that. It's a fantastic tool. It just embeds into your page, and people do it on the page. They don't have to leave the page to do it. Like if you're looking for secrets for high-ticket dropshipping, I tell you right now, this is a secret. Grow your email list, help people. It's a fantastic thing to do. So I would think about doing something like that on collection pages as well. All right. Let's leave the collection pages for now and let's dive into a product page. So we went into this one before. I'm going to get back in here. So Amira's got some good things happening on her product pages. And I think some of her product pages look a little bit differently, but you know, we've got some good things. So here we get right in. We got the product in use. So once again, this product doesn't have so many images associated with it, and that might be because the supplier hadn't provided many, or Mira just hasn't got around to further optimizing with that. A few more images would probably be nice of this product at different angles. But this is a lifestyle image, so we can see children using the product. This is a good thing. It's good to have images of your product, just the product, like on a white background. You know, those plain sort of images you see, but it's also good for your products if you can have lifestyle images. We call them lifestyle images, and that's sort of like the product in use, whatever its intended use is, a person using that product. And this is a little psychological trick, and the reason it's good is that if you show people somebody using a product, they can immediately insert themselves into that product much easier than if it's just the product not in use, like by itself. Right, it's a psychological thing. If, you know, if I see kids playing here having fun, it's easier for me in my mind to insert my own children into that picture playing and having fun. And when I think about that, what do I feel? I feel good. I feel happy. I feel like I've achieved my role as a parent. Maybe I feel that my children are luckier than other children and that I'm better than my neighbors, whatever it might be, right? And this is the reason that people buy things, because they feel something, right? So if you want somebody to buy something, one, they need to feel an emotion and they need to be able to support that emotion with logic. Now, that may be a new concept to you. It's not debatable. This is how your brain works when you buy something. You subconsciously have an emotion triggered, which you then, the logical part of your brain, so that's the lizard brain, the brain you have no control over, essentially. You can't stop that from happening and you can't tell it to happen. It just happens. You don't even know it's happening. If that happens in the right way, you have essentially already made a decision to buy a product. All right? Now, you might say, oh, no. I think about this and I make the decision, not my subconscious brain. I make the decision to buy a product. Yeah, you think you do, but you actually don't, right? What actually happens is that later you use logic to support the emotional decision that your brain has already made for you. And what's the logic? The logic isn't the images. The logic is I go and down here and I read specifications. I say, oh, yeah, it's the right size for me. It's the right price for me. But, you know, you will, an example of this might be you look at a product and 2 weeks later you buy it. Why didn't you buy it the first time around? Well, you know, there might have been a logical reason you didn't buy it, i.e. you couldn't afford it. But then you're going to go and save money till you can afford it. It's because you're taking that logical action because your brain already made the decision to buy the thing. Or maybe sometimes you buy things when you can't really afford them. Once again, it's because your brain has already made that decision for you. So the more you can trigger emotions in people when they're looking at products, that subconscious process that happens, the more you're going to sell, because people need to go through that. And this is one of the reasons why luxury manufacturers of luxury products, I mean, if you ever think about luxury products, expensive perfume or expensive cars or expensive alcohol, etc. Why most of their advertising is just imagery. It's usually somebody who you might look up to, a famous person, a celebrity, somebody you assume is successful using that product. And all it is them using the product. Like think of, like, you know, perfume ads particularly. It'll be a celebrity like standing around like an idiot in some wasteland or something looking fantastic or whatever it is, you know, like and it's just be like a word, blah, 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 by blah, 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 and then some euphemism. That's the ad, right? It hasn't actually told you anything. But that triggered emotions in you, seeing that person that you respect, look up to, think is successful, insert thing, using the product, you will immediately, that creates an emotional response. So they don't even need to say anything. The emotional response is so strong. There's no logic there because there isn't, like, your body's just like, oh, well, if they wear it, then it's going to be good for me. I'm going to be like them a little bit, right? That's all emotional, right? And so that's that type of, that's that psychological thing in action. Anyway, a bit of a tangent there, but hopefully it was a useful one for you. Getting back to Amira's product page. So it's pretty good. It's pretty clean. I like that it's not too cluttered. Once again, this will plays well, particularly in the mobile space. If you jam too much clutter in here, it can make it harder to understand. And one of the things I like that Amira's doing here is she's got this little section in here. I mean, everything else is easy to understand and follows the logical order that people are generally used to. But we've got the nice little USP thing. And so once again, with a high-ticket dropshipping site, your product pages are going to tend to be your main landing pages. You're going to probably start running traffic with Google Shopping. That sends people straight to product pages. And so, you know, some of the first times you might get into an organic search result is when people search for a particular product by name. And this one has an identifier, Space Shuttle. is the model name. Star Quality is the brand name. So somebody gets onto Google and searches Star Quality Space Shuttle Swing Set, you know, high chance you might rank for that potentially. And so people are going to come to the product page there as well. And so that means that this is one of your main landing pages, and you've got to convince people quickly like this. They've got to get the idea about the product. They've got to get the idea about your business and why they should buy from you. Remember, I talked about that earlier. You've got to convince people of two things on your site, and you have to do it the most on the product page of your site. Is this the right product for me? Are you the right person to buy it from? And so if you want people to understand why they should buy from you, you need to tell them. You cannot leave it up to people to work it out for themselves why they should buy from your business. You must explicitly tell them. Treat people like idiots, not in a bad way. Just make sure you spell things out for people in simple terms, in short sentences. You do that about the product, and you do that about why they should buy from you. So, free shipping, tax-free, easy returns, no questions asked. Fantastic. Price match guaranteed. Parent-owned, join the family. So once again, adding that little small business connection that you can make with people. Some people love buying from small businesses. Some people love buying from family-run businesses. Some people don't. That's fine. Screw them. That doesn't matter. You don't need to worry about them. Always remember, you're not trying to please every single person who might be in the market for your products, right? The best businesses are usually ones that some people hate and some people love. Some people probably can't stand the sound of my voice. They might love listening to Ben's voice. I don't know why you would. But some people, on the other hand, can't stand Ben but love listening to me. Some people might not like Ben or I. Like, they listen to this podcast and think, oh, these guys are dickheads. I'm not going to listen to them. I'm going to go and listen to somebody else who talks about dropshipping, right? There's other people that talk about dropshipping. That's fine. Guess what? I don't want those people in my audience. They're never going to do anything with me, right? That's fine. I accept that. But the flip side of that is that some people love listening to what we have to say. And they will always be our customers. And that group of people is big enough to make a lot of money, right? If that's your interest. I can have a lot of impact in just that group of people. I don't need to please the whole market. And so some people will love this and they'll be like, yes, I want to buy from a parent-owned business. Yes, I want to buy from a small business. Yes, I want to support a small local American business. Right? And I think that's becoming a bigger thing as well at this point, late 2023 onwards. That small local business thing is kind of making a comeback, I think, for a lot of people. And great, they're your people. Go after them. You know, because once again, this is not something that a big box store can say, right? Or are going to say. And so that's a little extra thing to make you stand out if you've got that sort of competition. So a bit of a USP here. That's fantastic. Questions, we're here anytime. Once again, reiteration of the phone number down here. People start to focus into this part of the page when they're looking at a page, right? You've got the important things, the price, the add to cart. So they're looking here, their eyes are here. So once again, giving them the opportunity to call you is good. One thing I would do here is I would make this phone number click to call. That's a little bit of coding to do that. It's not complex coding, or you could get somebody to do it for you, do it yourself. Click to call, because once again, if we're on a mobile, if I just press it on a mobile, it will bring up the dialer on my phone with that number loaded into it. So if I do want to call you, you've just made it very easy for me to call you. I don't need to try and memorize the number. I don't need to flip between the browser and the dialer on my phone and do like 800 flip back. What's the next bit? 980 flip back. Like, that's really annoying, right? People might also get it wrong and call the wrong number. You make it click to call, it's going to load that dialer up with that exact number in and it start dialing for you, right? So that would be something I would do. The other thing I would do as well, a little tip here, if you're putting your phone number in, is I would make this a bit more specific. So I don't like the questions question mark bit necessarily. I mean, it's fine for people to call you if they've got questions. But one of the things I like to do, particularly for a newer high-ticket dropshipping business, is encourage people to call in. Right? The more calls you get, as I said before, the more sales you make, the more calls you get, the more opportunities you have to interact with your customer. So the faster you learn about your market and the motivations of your customers, which means the faster that you can improve your website to match those motivations, to make sure all questions are answered so they don't need to call you, to make sure that you're on top of what your competition's up to, et cetera, et cetera. Because when somebody calls you in, you can ask them questions as well. Yes, you absolutely provide them the service they need in the beginning, but then you can say to them, hey, man, you thinking about buying these products from anywhere else? So one, answering the question about who are my true competitors, because it's not going to be everyone you think, actually. It's probably going to be just one or two websites you'll keep hearing. So you know you need to have a good idea of what they're doing and just do it better, right? But you don't need to do it better than everybody else in the market because your customers aren't looking at everybody else in the market. You learn about that. If you ask people about it, the only way you can ask people about it is if they call you first. So, or you can say, hey man, is there any reason you wouldn't buy from us today? Was there anything on our website you thought was missing? Were there any unanswered questions there? Is there anything that didn't make sense? You know, you can, every time somebody calls you, you should ask them even just one of those questions. Track the answers and you'll start to build up a picture really quickly if you get people calling in of what's working for them, what's not working for them. How do you need to improve your business? It's literally the fastest, I think, for a high-ticket dropshipping business, one of the fastest ways to do conversion rate optimization without having to guess all the time. Because let's be honest, that's what a lot of conversion rate optimization is. There's certain things it's hard to get data about in just an online sense. You can look at heat maps and scroll maps and user behavior, and you got to look at a lot of that to get any real data from, meaningful data. But if you just ask customers, you keep hearing the same answer, then you damn well know exactly what you got to fix about your business. And you don't have to guess anymore. You know exactly where to go. You know exactly what to do. It's based on the people that are actually likely to buy from you. So you want to get calls coming in. This probably won't get that many coming in. So I would tie it to something that does get people interested, which is usually price, particularly in the children parent space. Parents, you know, oftentimes maybe a bit more tight on money, might be shopping around a bit. I would probably say, because you've got a price match guarantee here, I would probably say something like, want the best price? Call us on da 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 da. Or found a better price? Call us on da 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 da. And be prepared to do that, but also be prepared that every time somebody calls you, learn something about your business and it'll make it a worthwhile exercise. But if you tie a phone number to an explicit outcome or thing, then you probably, whereas questions, question mark, is very general, right? If you can tie it to something very specific, then you will probably see a much greater increase in phone calls. I would probably also make this bigger. Probably where I would take this USP thing next is get it better designed, and add it, like get it nicely designed, like little icons and things like that, and make this bit the biggest bit, the phone number bit. I might even add it up here, get a bit of space up there or something like that. So that's probably what I would do there. Get these a bit nicely designed to match the nice design of the rest of your site. But what's there is good. I would just take it to that next level. The other thing you can think about putting in here is you can get a little widget made up that will display like your average shipping time. So this product ships in one day, is delivered between 3 to 5 days later or something like that. Once again, that's an easy way to answer a common question that customers will have, particularly for a niche like this leading into Christmas time, where you are going to need to have an order cut off because people are going to be buying presents that they need to have before Christmas. And here's a little hot tip for anybody listening to this before Christmas in 2023. One of the worst things in a high-ticket dropshipping business is selling expensive products that people want for Christmas, and they order them too close to Christmas, and they don't get them before Christmas. They get really angry. Let me tell you this. I've learned this lesson in the past. And you can have to refund people. You can have chargebacks. You can do whatever. So what I recommend anybody who's listening to this episode, which is coming out before Christmas in 2023 or any future year, is get in touch with your suppliers and find out if they have a pre-Christmas shipping cutoff date, as in where they say, if you order after this date, where you're not going to get it before Christmas, or we don't guarantee you'll get it before Christmas if they're arranging the shipping. If you arrange the shipping, then look at your previous average shipping times and set your own cutoff and say, right, I know what my handling time is with my supplier, I know what my shipping time is. And so I'm going to say, if you order after, and then you want to put this on your site, you want to like something somewhere on your site where everyone's going to see it, right? That says pre-Christmas shipping cutoff date is whatever, 18th of December. Depending on what day Christmas falls of the year, it can vary. Like Christmas might fall on a weekend. It might fall in the middle of a weekend. So that will change that a little bit. But trust me, it is well worth your while to do that. If you're in a niche where people might be buying your products as Christmas gifts, because people who don't get their Christmas gifts, particularly parents, like if you're buying little Johnny a thing for Christmas, a swing set, and you had in your mind that you wanted him to be able to use it around Christmas, and it ain't coming till well after Christmas, you're going to be real angry. And you don't, the worst thing as a business owner is having to spend, particularly if you're doing your own customer service, is having to spend your Christmas and the time between Christmas and New Year where you might want to hang out with family or do whatever, dealing with angry customers. Trust me, sucks balls. I wouldn't risk it. So everybody, anybody listening who's got a high ticket dropshipping business, think about that and act on it. I would recommend that. Moving further down, got a bit of description action down here. I think certainly from an SEO perspective, and this may not be a product description that Amira has done any work on. I think there's a lot more you could do here from an SEO perspective. Free delivery and installation. This is a cool thing, which the installation particularly, I mean, that's a valuable extra that's being offered here. I would probably add that to my USP for this product, right? And so you might be thinking, well, I've coded this stuff into the page that comes up on every product page, and I only want this free installation on some product pages. The way around that is either you can use meta fields, or you could create a different template, product page template, that includes that in the USP, and then you can apply that product page template. This is something you can do in most good Shopify themes. You can apply just that product page template to the products where you offer free installation. But that's a pretty cool little thing. So I would think about getting that up here as well into your USP for the products where it's relevant. You can still mention it in the description area, but once again, people may not see that. Like if I'm making a decision here and I'm getting that first impression, I may not scroll further down the page on my first visit. So I want to work that out here. Or maybe it's up here. It says something like, this product has free installation. That's cool. That's a value add in the customer's mind. So good to have that. The next thing I wanted to mention clearly is playsets can only be sold and delivered to the following states. And we have a limited, and in some states limited, set of things. So once again, this is going to be a point of confusion for people, customers that is. And this is one of the things I would think about with my Google ads. If this is the only place where you can send them, and this is more a directed thing at Amira because she's going to see this as well. But if there's some reason why you can't deliver it all over the US, then you're going to want to make sure if you're running ads that you're only targeting your ads to these states, which you can do in any advertising platform, whether it's Google, if it was Facebook, you can do location-based targeting. So you want to make sure that these products are only advertised in those states. Otherwise, you might be paying for irrelevant traffic. And that may mean, if you're using our method of doing Google ads, you need to run these in their own campaigns rather than in with all your other products. So Amira, I don't know if you're doing that, but please, that's what you should be doing. Otherwise, you might be getting irrelevant traffic. So, you know, I think definitely the description here could use a bit of work. As I said, it might not be one that's been optimized yet. It's past the suppliers thing, but I would definitely be doing some work here on just sort of like actually selling the product. I mean, there's some good things. There's some specifications. There's some main features and benefits points, which I like. But I'd want to see a bit more of an introduction to this product and why it's great and all of that sort of thing. There's some good things. Nice FAQ thing there. I like the features and benefits statements. Modern colored swings. Which one was I was going to say? Poly construction, eco-friendly, made from plastic lumber, made from high-density polyethylene, which would normally be disposed in our landfills. So Like the feature, some people will just stop here. Produced with plastic lumber made from high density polyethylene. But you take that a step further by adding, what's the benefit of that? There would actually be a step further than this, right? So the benefit of this is that, and look, once again, we're talking about an eco-friendly thing here. So, I mean, if you get offended by that, I don't have much time for you, so too bad. But having something that's made from this is presumably reducing stuff disposed in landfill. That's a good thing for a lot of people, in a lot of people's minds. But you could go a little bit further and dig into the motion, and the outcome of that is that, you know, you can, you know, feel good that you're making a positive impact on the environment, right? So you feature benefit outcome. What's the actual outcome? Like, why are people concerned about this? It's the outcome they're concerned about. People aren't actually interested in reducing landfill. They're interested in reducing landfill because of what that causes. So you could spell that out even further. Stainless steel fasteners. We use high quality stainless steel fasteners on our swing sets, which are proven to be much more resistant to corrosion, which means that the chance of your loved one, your dear little Johnny, having an accident that, leaves him disfigured is reduced by 99%. Or, if you can get any data on that, that would be even better to be specific about that reduction. So you can take features and benefits statements much faster, because what does that then do? Triggers emotions. If you can paint a picture of the outcome that your product is going to be in their mind, and this one can't really do with an image, right? You're unlikely to find an image that demonstrates this benefit of the product or this feature. So you can't show somebody this outcome, right? You can use images to show outcomes. Like the outcome here is happy children, right? That's one of the main outcomes of this product, which you want people to see and have triggered. An image is, I think, often much easier to trigger an emotion with. But some things you can't use an image to convey the message that you want conveyed. And so you have to use text. And so if you have to use text, then you want to spell it out. Spell out what the outcome is. What's the end outcome of that good thing about the product? Spell it out every single time. And you, once again, will make people feel the emotions. You can then mold that copy to make people feel the emotions you want them to feel in order to be prepared to buy the product. So that's all good. We then got some reviews down there looking good. So I think, these product pages are looking good. There's definitely some tweaks to be made there. I think from an SEO perspective, description could be tweaked. And I think we have a specific episode about product page SEO coming out very soon. So I'm going to leave that for that. Everybody make a note. You can come in and listen to that. I think Amira's on the right track here in a tough market. She's definitely taking the approach to to focus in on the products probably less marketed. And so this is one of the things that you can probably take away from this episode. And that is, if you're thinking of going into a market that is more competitive in its whole, and there are a number of those out there, and you really want to do it, all right? Because, it's something you identify with. It's something you believe in. It's something you're personally involved in yourself. Competition can be is one of the big red flags about niches when it comes to high ticket dropshipping that you really have to be aware of, because if you get that wrong, it can really make it hard to grow a business. But if it's something you really want to do for any particular reason, and it's a competitive space and you're like, man, it doesn't fit that criteria, but I really want to do it, then the way to do it is to see if there's an angle you can take into that, which doesn't expose you to the whole thing. It just exposes you to a smaller segment of that whole thing. Some people might call that like niching down, perhaps. I don't like to think of it that way, because that's too often for some people too product specific. Think of, are there customers? So in any market, there's ideal customers, all these customer profiles. Once again, we released an episode on this just recently where Ben talked through a really great example in the golfing niche. I think the product, the episode is titled Learn Who You're Selling To. And I'll tell you right now, it was in fact episode 237. So if you want to get what I'm talking about here, go and listen to episode 237, where we went into more detail about the who exists in your market. So identify the different who's in your market, because remember, for us, niche selection is all about the customer. It's not all about the product. It's all about the customer first and then the products. So if you're in a big market, competitive market, and other ones like this might be fitness, for example, massive market, but there are all types of who's in there. There are all types of customers in there, right? Focus on one of those. Focus on part of that market. And oftentimes that will lead you to the products that are less marketed by a lot of the competition. And so you can often find smaller segments of larger markets that are less competitive. And I think that's kind of what Amir is doing here, which is a good thing. And that's the way that you make what might be a bigger market more accessible to you and more likely that you can build a big business there. And some people might say, well, then you're just making your overall market smaller. And I would say, yeah, but right, remember the kids toy market in the US is overall the toys and games market generated a total revenue of US $122 billion in 2022, reflecting a 2.9% increase from the previous year. So it's a growing market, or at least it was in 2022. $122 billion is how much people are spending on children's toys and things, right, in that particular segment. Now, you don't need exposure to all of a $122 billion industry to build a business that supports you for the rest of your life. You don't even need half of that. You don't even need exposure to a tenth of that. In fact, you don't even need, like, we're talking billions. Humans have trouble imagining how big a billion is compared to a million. You don't even need exposure to a 100th of that in order to build a business that makes you individually, just you, very well off. So going a bit narrower in a lot of cases when you're in a big market is still perfectly big to support you. So we'll wrap this up here by saying, if you'd like to build a business like you've seen Amira build here, head on over to dropshipbreakthrough.com/join. You can get into the program. We're going to show you exactly, step by step, over the shoulder, holding your hand, how to build a business exactly the same as Amira's.
Thanks for listening to the Dropship Podcast. You can find all the show notes for this episode at dropshippodcast.com. And if you're ready to take the next step in your dropshipping journey, we invite you to join us inside Dropship Breakthrough, where John and I will walk you through step-by-step in starting your own high-ticket dropshipping e-commerce business. But that's not all. Dropship Breakthrough will also teach you everything you'll need to know to grow your business and take it to the next level. So head over to dropshipbreakthrough.com and sign up for our free training that will help you take the first steps towards building and growing your own profitable high-ticket dropshipping business.
John and I both love business, think about it all the time, can't turn it off, and don't know why anyone would want to. And because of that, we started a second podcast where we can talk about everything we've ever wanted to talk about in business. Not just dropshipping. We like talking about all things business. So if you want to hear John and I talk about all sorts of stuff, from camel meat dropshipping businesses to PDF dropshipping to a guy gambling $100 every single day on YouTube Shorts to how OnlyFans taught us lessons in business, we're all over the place over there, but it's a really fun podcast. So if you're a podcast listener, you love John and I, head over to your podcast player of choice and look for the Low Bar Podcast. You'll see a blue image and you'll see a cartoon version of John and myself. and go back and start at episode one. I promise you will not regret this. This is one of the more fun projects that I have done recently. I know John's having fun too, so we'd love it if you joined us. Check out the Low Bar Podcast on YouTube or wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts.